Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday, but synthetic Wednesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick with you this morning. I don't even know what to say sometimes about this market because, surprise, surprise, we're up again here. We've got Apple to talk about. We've got hot stocks like Fubo to talk about. Peloton. I've never seen a stock go up after being the acquirer of a company like Peloton's going up here this morning. We'll talk about SPACs and IPOs with our guest today, Eric Kroll. He is the author of The Life Cycle Trade. He's also the founder at Kroll Asset Management. He'll be on at 8:35 to hopefully talk some sense to us into this IPO and SPAC market. Before I throw it to Joel, I want to remind you all that all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Okay, Joel, how are we doing this morning?
How do you think we're doing, Spencer? Of course, we're trading in the green. We had a little dip overnight. We got to 63.75. I don't know what that was all about, but here we are knocking on the door, 3,700 once again. I can give you a couple closes, folks, but there's really nothing up there. Monday's high, 37.24. That's your all-time high. You had another high at 37.23. So, boy, oh, boy, we're that close to all-time highs after that dip yesterday. Crude in the red by 63 cents at 47.34. A little worry about demand. Gold and the silver going the same way for a change. Gold down 420 at 1878.60. Silver down 29.4 cents at 26.095. And Bitcoin, despite the bad news, it spent a couple bad news items that Spencer talked about. That's up $305 at $23,185. Triple D, got a major announcement to make here and, something you and Spencer don't even know about. So just before I ask you about the markets, yes. December 31st will be our last show. You know why? Because you and I are taking our combined wealth, which is over $1 million, but less than 100 million. And we are building an electronic vehicle.
And I like the idea from the chat. What about an electric Peloton?
And
an electric stationary bike.
And we're going to do our own SPAC. That is what we're going to be doing. Yes. So I'm going to be working on this in my garage. You're going to have to fly in.
Yeah.
And we are going to get into that. What would be more lucrative? And I think the symbol for our SPAC, is there prep?
I think it's going to be Zing. Zebra.
No, Raz wants that for the.
Raz wants that for Benzinga when Benzinga goes public. Well, maybe we'll take Benzinga public.
Yes.
We're SPAC.
Joel, PMP is not taken.
Oh, really? Okay. PMP. There we go. But
I'm still mad that 3D is taken. When's 3D Systems going out of business? I'm going to have my ticker symbol back. That's what I want to know. Because once 3D Systems goes out of business, then I'm taking my 3D back and then I'm going public. So you let me know when that happens.
And, you know, we're going to overtake Apple very easily because they're not going to have a battery strong enough to power the car. We're going to have, I don't know, we'll have some super lithium batteries or something like that.
Supercharged.
But yeah. Supercharged. So that's what we're going to be doing. So that's what we got to do. But in all seriosity, what do you want to start?
Is that a word? Seriosity. I think Joel just created a new word. I might use that actually. Seriosity. I like that. I like that. It's got a good ring to it.
So,
you know, this market's all nonsense. So we might as well just talk nonsense on the show too. We'll make up words, you know, makeups and just whatever. This is what this market does. But let's go to something that is real, and that is Apple. This headline broke from Reuters yesterday. The stock has been straight up since the headline broke around 3:36, I believe it was. I actually wanted to buy this overnight Morris stock, and not very often that my system goes down, but it did.
Really?
And yeah, it did for about 5 minutes right at the close. And I was like, wonderful. So anyways, I was scrambling around trying to fix my systems, and I missed my LOC buy on Apple because I was trying to buy it on the closing print because I anticipated that Apple would be up here today with the news of the electric car, and Johnny Come Lately is coming in saying, oh, Apple's making an electric car. We got to get on that. And lo and behold, it is up 4 more points. Spencer, give us the headline, the broke from Reuters just before the close yesterday.
You know, it's funny because Apple, this Project Titan, which is like the code word at Apple for this secretive car project, this has been going on for like 2 years. But they never talk about it. They never talk about Project Titan. So, like, it's almost like people had forgotten. We'd all forgotten that Apple has been working on this for a couple of years. And so yesterday, we just got a reminder, basically, that, yeah, Apple is still working on electric vehicles. And the headline, the news from Reuters was that they aim to produce electric vehicles by 2020 or in 2024. So that was the headline at Reuters yesterday, that they're going to start production of their car. Actually, I think they started working on this way back in like 2014. And now they're saying, Reuters is saying that by in 4 years, well, 3 years essentially, Apple is going to be producing electric cars.
They're going to call it the iCar?
Probably.
I mean, this is unbelievable that Tesla doesn't get hammered on that headline. It just shows you how resilient the stock is, because this is the worst competition for Tesla. I mean, Apple is a monster. Nobody's got pretty much more resources than Apple. And if they really want to get behind this, they could probably produce a pretty awesome car. Think about the products that Apple makes. I mean, the iPhone. I mean, when they come out and they want to do something, and they've been working on it for as long as we've heard about this car, they've been working behind the scenes on this for 5 years, it's going to be a solid electric car. Don't kid yourself. If Apple's doing it, it's going to be solid. So huge competition for Tesla. But Honey Badger Tesla stock doesn't care. It's up this morning. It got hit for about 5-7 points on the headline. Bounces right back because FOMO and, you know, buy the dip just cannot resist themselves, regardless of valuation. It makes zero sense to me, but again, this market makes zero sense, so you can't trade using cents. You just trade using your buy key, because that's how this market works. Apple ripping higher makes sense on this to me. I am long Apple in the long-term portfolio. I did want to be long in my trading portfolio, but I'm not. Any pullback on Apple, I will probably get long just because I think this headline could continue to drive the stock for a little while here. Obviously, today it's getting a lot of media attention, so we know today is where it's really getting driven. But I mean, this is just terrible news fundamentally for Tesla, in my opinion. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because Tesla is Tesla and they shrug everything off. Am I going to put Tesla in the long-term portfolio? Hell no, not putting in yesterday. Definitely not putting in now that Apple competition is coming. I don't know when it all starts to matter, but that picture doesn't paint pretty there for Tesla with Apple coming in and going to start pissing in their pool. So anyways, your thoughts here, Joel, as Apple is going to be. You're long Tesla.
Yeah.
Joel's long forever. He thinks it's going to be the most valuable company in the world, which maybe it is. But, wow, that's a big competitor.
Yeah, in 2024, I mean, let's just look at, you know, I'm just going to give some titles because I am so lost in this whole EV thing. I just, you know, everyone's going to be driving electric vehicles. I don't, everyone's going to be making them. I just love to see how, you know, 5 years from now, how this is all going to shake out. You know, I mean, 1 or 2 years, five. I mean, it seems like, is it Baidu coming out with a car too?
Rumors.
Rumors. I just, you know, and I'm going the opposite way thinking, you know, I'm done with cars. So I'm totally lost on this. I'm not going to give any fundamental opinion. 132 is the pre-market high. You've faded off that. So if you do get back up near that area, potential resistance, your daily high after that comes up in, from August, just after the split, around 134.18 is the all-time closing high if you really get giddy today. And then what's another daily high in there? I mean, I think you're going to have some problems getting through 132 because you've already backed off. I mean, that's just for today. That's just looking at it short-term technical, but – man,
it's a big move for Apple from the lows. It's a big market cap. It's hard for it to move like that. So we've moved up 6-7 points, but I'm not fading Apple here at all. This is a fantastic idea for them. I mean, they've been doing it. We've known this has been cooking. You know, we talked about this on the show years ago when we were reading that analysis. You know, they had bought certain URLs. You know, you can see because they get them registered. You knew, everybody knew that Apple's been cooking up a car for a long time.
Yeah.
Now it's just confirmation that, hey, we've even got a date where this is, you know, this is going to start going. Obviously, it's a ways away. So you can say, oh, 2024, we're talking, you know, 3.5 years away here. So why worry about it now? But this market likes something to look forward to. And I mean, as you know, you think about that, the possible revenue streams for Apple coming in there, I think it's very smart. You think about all their software technology, like you think people are saying Tesla's a software company. You know, and somebody in the chat just pointing out who's a better software company than Apple. So, I mean, this is going to be a good fit for them, in my opinion. I think it's a great idea. We talked about it years ago and saying it was a great idea. I'm surprised it's taken this long, but they don't come out and half-ass something. Apple is never a company, in my opinion. I guess the watch they kind of did off the bat. But for the most part, when they come out with something, it's pretty solid.
I think this, Spencer, remember when you talked a couple of months ago about your, like, your Google communities and your Apple communities?
Oh, yeah. I'm still all in on that idea. Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
like in the future, we're seeing it now, but like we're going to move into houses that are subdivisions that are Google subdivisions or Amazon subdivisions or Apple subdivisions. Real fast.
Building houses, the iHome, the iPhone, the iCar, the iCloud.
It's going to happen. On this Apple headline too, it wasn't just Apple that moved though. A couple of LiDAR, because they talked about LiDAR technology in the report. So a couple of LiDAR stocks, LAZR and then VLDR, Velodyne. Those also moved on this headline and are still moving here.
Oh, good catch there. Yeah, nice bounce back.
Holy, that VLDR. Wow. That's a big move for that one too. I know nothing about LiDAR technology. What the hell is that?
It's the sensors that enable these cars to
self-drive.
That's how I understand it. I don't have an in-depth understanding of what LiDAR is.
Am I chasing LiDAR up $7? Probably not, but I would look, you know, headline cools off, get a pullback and something like this. You know, maybe you do look at it if you get a significant pullback. You're not going to get that today. But again, sometimes striking on day one isn't the thing to do. You wait till a story cools off a week later and then starts to leak a little bit and then you strike. So that's how I've always played them. But there's a lot of, you know, repercussions from this, not just for Tesla, obviously, but for, you know, companies that are going to be helping with the technology as well. So nice pop. I'm not chasing.
Yeah, just keep an eye. I mean, if you're looking for follow through on these moves, you know, as always, you know, boom, mark that pre-market high down, see if it holds, and then get followed through. VLDR snuck over 27. It's not that far off it. It's trading at, this thing is powerful. My it says 27.46.
That's where it's at right now, yes.
Yeah,
holy up another 11%.
Woo!
Day two, the follow-through works. This is a trade. I didn't even know about these stocks yesterday, so I wish I would have known because I would have tried to buy these at the close too. But when you get a headline that comes late in the day like that, you get the late pop, you often get follow-through the next day. I've always called that the two-day move. That's why Apple trading up $4. You know, you got this VLDR trading up on that technology and the Luminar trading up on the same thing, which is obviously LAZR. So that's just follow through is what that is from the headline from the day before, because people aren't sitting there like me watching the headlines. So there's been money. I've made money for years trading that 2-day move, and it would have worked very well this morning, although I didn't know about these two companies until 2 minutes ago. So.
Yeah, that's funny. My 15 minute and my 60 minute are giving me different things here. I'm going to go with the 60 minute. Actually, you snuck over 28 in this thing. Two 15-minute highs at 28.38, 28.39.
All right, we should talk Peloton here. Dennis scolded me about a half hour ago for trying to make sense of
this fundamentals to value
this acquisition. So Peloton is spending $420 million to buy Precor, and if that brand sounds familiar, as I couldn't quite figure out where I'd heard that brand before, it's because their equipment is in like all in the hotel gyms, right? It's like the hotel gym equipment manufacturer. So Precor apparently has a lot of manufacturing capabilities. It's going to enable people to get their Pelotons faster because we know they've got this massive back order. A few people have come out. KeyBank this morning came out, called it highly synergistic. I would say the market agrees, or I say the market just doesn't think and is just buying regardless, but I've never seen a stock go up like
it's this. The latter. The market doesn't think and just buys regardless.
Yeah, okay.
So first error, obviously using fundamentals to try to value or to try to logically think about it. This has two things going for it, actually three things going for it, and none of them are to do with the fundamentals. One, well, I guess fundamentals a little bit, but it's got the story. You know, the Peloton story is still intact. The stock started making new all-time highs yesterday. What is my rule? I do not short stocks making new all-time highs. Multiple people tweeting at me because they don't, I don't like Peloton. I think it's overvalued. But they're saying, are you shorting Peloton with 155? I'm like, no, I'm not shorting Peloton because it's making new all-time highs. I don't short stocks making new all-time highs. You get murdered shorting stocks making new all-time highs. Just ask David Einhorn. But if you're saying this is just stupid, I'm going to short this stock and try to call the top. If you make money, you got lucky. But it wasn't smart trading. It was lucky trading. Because you know what? There's no way to call where any of this crap tops out. Peloton valuations are stupid, but it doesn't matter. Story is intact. It's got a short interest, which is quite high. What's the short interest in Peloton? So you got a little squeeze going on here too. I mean, you could have your Stitch Fix moment here. Like look at SFIX. It got stupid too. The gap and go after the earnings. And it's been going straight up since because that short interest just keeps driving it.
Wow.
Right. What's to stop it, Joel? You know how many people are short? What's a short interest? Maybe it's coming a little bit here now. Could Peloton go to 200? Yep. Why not?
Because
they don't care about valuation. So that doesn't matter at all. It's got the story. It's got a high short interest and it's making new all-time highs. Do not short those stocks. That's what I say. I do not short those stocks. Even though it will not go in my long-term portfolio because I think it eventually ends in a bloodbath. I don't know. Right now, you could totally be on the long side of this. Now, long-term trading and short-term trading, two very different animals. If I had this in my trading account, it would be long. So I'm not buying and chasing it up 17 points here this morning. But as a trade, if it pulled back a little bit, I could get driven. You got the Santa Claus coming. You got a market that doesn't give a crap about, you know, anything, it seems like. And then you got a story where there's a second virus kicking around. So if that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, if the Pfizer vaccine doesn't work, that's actually good for Peloton. So
whatever it's worth, Dennis, I'm seeing that the percent of the float that are sold short is only about 5%. So,
Peloton?
Yeah, not that high.
Not that high. Anyways, those 5% people are puking their guts out. But regardless, shorting stocks making new all-time highs is a recipe to lose money. That actually holds true in all markets. I don't short stocks making new all-time highs in any market. And this is the FOMO market. This is the market where it's painful to short anything. So, like, just like yesterday, I was kind of spooked to buy the dip. That was one of the best calls. Just buy the dip. Just blindly buy the dip yesterday. Blindly buy the dip, and you just made all that money right back. We got down to 3,600 in the S&P.
That was overnight. That was overnight. Yeah.
Overnight. We're up 80 handles in one day from those lows.
I don't know what to say about this Peloton.
You want to sell it forever. Lisa's been right. I mean, she continues to be right. Just listen to Lisa. When she tells you to sell it, you sell it. And you let us know when Lisa tells you to sell it because Lisa's going to call the top on this thing. I can tell that
right. You know what?
If anybody could call the top, it's Lisa Alicante.
Because we were looking at some stuff last night and I was showing her some charts and everything. And I said, you know, what about the Tesla? And she looked at the chart. She's like, she goes, buy more. And like every chart I showed her and things were going straight up, she looked at it and she's like, why would you sell that? It's going straight up.
It's true.
And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe take, no. And then I don't know if we looked at the Peloton. She doesn't know about the Peloton news yet. That got over 162, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I still have it, not selling it. I don't know. 162.67 is your pre-market high. If you have some weeklies in there.
What's the value? What I mean, it doesn't even matter. Like, billion, you know, whatever it's worth is worth 70 billion. I don't know. Is it worth 40 billion, 80 billion, 100 billion? I don't know what it's worth. It doesn't even matter though, because it's got a story. I mean, let's talk the story stock.
Forward P.
Well, I want to say one thing though, Dennis. Yeah. This shoots some holes in, it's not a, I mean, just
we're totally 1999, by the way.
Reopening stock, right? Anybody that hit this on reopening stuff, you know, that, I mean, it's
come right back. I thought it was over. I thought the 140 would be intact for a long time. I said it a month ago. I'm dead wrong. Dead wrong. You know what? The first thing I did wrong was go bearish on any stock because everything just goes up. So I don't know when it all ends. Yeah, we're not at 1999 yet, though. But I still say, like, stocks like Apple, have room. I mean, if you want to just go in a silly town, Apple's, I know it's trading like 30 times earnings, but you want to start getting a silly town, you know, there's a lot of stocks trading a hell of a lot higher than that. Like we just said, PEs are meaningless. So I guess you shouldn't even analyze stocks on that basis anymore. But I mean, everything is just about a story. Look at Fubo.
Oh my Lord. Did you
look at FUBO? Mitch brought us this at $13. I bought that day. I already said that, you know, after, you know, Mitch talked about on the show, I went out because I liked the story. I didn't know about it until Mitch talked about it. I was like, I like that story. And I sold some at 20. I sold some more at 30. And I held a little piece, and I've still got the little piece, and I don't even know what the hell to do with the little piece. I mean, I'm making more on the little piece than I did on the bulk of the position. Because here we're up 30% yesterday. We're up another 16% today. The stock has basically doubled in 3 days. I mean, it's just gone bananas. This made sense when it was under $100 billion market or under $1 billion market cap. But what's the market cap in this puppy now? Like 7-8 billion? I don't know. I didn't look it up. I should look it up.
I mean, maybe
I could tell you, but I don't know if you'll care. You may not even care.
May not even care.
What 900 million I'm seeing.
No, is that all it's worth?
That might not
be. No, right. That can't be right. It's worth more than that. It was worth 900 million when I first looked at it, I thought. 2.6 billion.
Yeah.
As of yesterday.
Maybe that
$2 billion company. I mean, $1 billion they throw around like nothing now.
People are looking at this monthly chart down here in the lower right, and they're like, they're putting that target in there at 129.50. Right?
It ain't getting straight there, but could this stupid market eventually take it there? Could take things anywhere. I don't know. I don't feel like selling anymore. It must be getting close to top. I don't even feel like selling anything because everything just goes up the next day. Like it was up 30% yesterday. I didn't even think about selling Fubo yesterday because it was up 30%. I was like, it'll just go up tomorrow. That's how stupid this market is. I mean, it's just got me thinking it too. I was like, stocks that go up 30% go up the next day too. I mean, yeah, it's gone to that point. We're in silly town. And the stocks that get the Robin Hood money behind them just don't stop. Eventually they will. And eventually we know, even Jamaya. And I'm still long the piece of Jamaya. It was some ugliness in there. I mean, it went from 40 down to 25. But what was that? It was another buying opportunity. Look at Jamaya now. Look at JMIA. It looks like it's ready to go. Again? Valuation? Forget about valuation.
You do have, actually, this one, you do have some... Prior,
what do you got?
I mean, I'm just going on the monthlies here. You had a high at 48,
yeah,
and that was the second month of trading, 50. And then the all-time high was 49.77. So at least you do have some reference points. You look at, you know, a chart like that. I mean, yeah, it's silly town. You can look at it. I mean, you look at this Fubo, and I mean, what can you say? I mean, just.
Small company yet though, like it's not like we're trading like 20 billion in valuation. I don't think it's getting to that, but I love the story when Mitch brought to us, you know, streaming sports story. I'm like, that's a story I could get.
Isn't that like ESPN? I don't know.
I mean, Michael explained it to us yesterday. It's an over the top streaming platform. So it's over the top just means you skip the cable provider. You go over the top of the cable provider. You go straight from the networks to you, the customer. And so they have several dozen channels you can pay to watch. It's mostly sports, but they're getting into other things as well. They have other non-sports channels. But yeah, it's hot. I don't know. I'm with you, Joel. I don't know what there is to say.
It's maybe one of the hot, that and QS are the two hottest stocks out there right now. Everybody's talking about it. Does it, you know, have an ugly day coming? You betcha. You know, you're going to see the stock drop 10 points in like 15 minutes and everybody's going to be like, what the hell happened? Well, it's crowded. Everybody's jumped on the bandwagon. It needs a correction. Does it get the correction and then pull a Jamaya, do a little basing and then start going higher? Like I would not jump in it now, but I'm in it. And I'm like, if I sell it here and it goes down to 50, it was a good call. But then I'm rebuying with a cost base of 50. I got to pay all the bloody tax because I just bought this thing at $13 a month and a half ago. So I'm like, I don't even know if I want to sell the last piece. So maybe, you know, maybe you should just lock it in. Like Joel says, don't worry about paying the tax. But I'm, could the story continue to be hot? Could a streaming sports story continue to be hot in 2021? I don't see how that story doesn't stay
hot. As long as things, you know, keep going the way they're going with the vaccines and I mean, I don't know if there was another bad outbreak and
yeah, and there's no sports.
I don't know if I'd want to be along then.
Yeah, you get rid of sports altogether. All of a sudden, Olympics get canceled again. I mean, that's a game changer.
But how are you gonna predict something like that?
Well, how are you supposed to predict anyhow? I mean, right now the thing's all FOMO. I'm not coming in and buying it here, but I'm still long it that little piece. I'm gonna stick with the little piece for now. Because I think the story could stay hot for a while here. Could this eventually be $100 stock? Why not? We just watched the thing go from 13 to 58. I don't think it's going to 100 anytime soon, but in this market, you know, you see a stock like QS and it goes from 60 to 104 days. I mean,
107.38, you hit 110 in the pre-market trading. Actually, that was after hours. So if you're looking for a little bit of a target in that one, 110.50, 110.38. It looks like someone stepped down off 110 off the last couple brackets. But that's just looking at where someone decided to sell a little bit of stock in the – that was after hours. So what's this one again? QuantumScape?
Yeah, that's –
I mean,
that's,
like, it makes any difference.
It's something to do with EV is all we need to know, Joel. That's
the battery company. It's the battery company that Bill Gates was the backer of. And they went this back route. I don't remember what their ticker was, but they won this background and now they're QS.
It's almost an unbelievable chart. Like, this is maybe beyond 1999. Like, I don't know. Stocks got silly in 1999. Maybe we forget, but there wasn't a lot of stocks. It went up like 1,000% a month and a half. I mean, this is just incredible moves in some of these stocks. So money is being made and they're printing money. And like I keep saying, inflation is coming and it's coming. This money can't just all keep getting created out of thin air and they don't have any inflation. You feel so bad for Main Street that is struggling right now. And then you got Wall Street and you got people just getting rich on, you know, just craziness. So it's very, you know, that gap keeps getting wider. But we're not, you know, a political show. We're not going to get into that stuff. Let's go take over. There's a takeover.
Let's talk a takeover.
Yeah, SPWH, Sportsman's Warehouse. Spencer, you got the headline here?
And again, taken private by the Great American Outdoors Group. It's $18 a share in cash. So relatively uneventful.
They just threw out a press release, and it was actually kind of funny. It was like a sneaky little press release. They released a press release talking about SPWH and this. And then I'm like just reading through it. Like, and I was like, oh, crap, this is a takeover. And I was trying. And obviously the algos, they are right on it. So they're buying like 13, 14, 15. And then I was able to buy some stock in the 16s. Just you know, literally 10-15 seconds. Like I was pretty late.
SPWH.
So is this the two gun makers?
No,
it's not. Okay.
No, that's SWBI.
Yeah, that's NRGR.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you get sports.
What's the takeover price?
18.
18 cash.
A little bit.
So they're giving a little discount here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that first bar was interesting. Like, it didn't go as fast. I don't know. You can't really break it down to see the individual trades, but it didn't go as fast as they normally do because sometimes they, like, halt the stock and then it opens up. There's no halt here. They just let her go. So, you know, if you're sitting out there at 13, 14, 15, you're picked off. And obviously the stock's, you know, significantly higher. Like I said, by the time I saw the headline come through and I was like, that's an interesting headline. Then I clicked on the pro and I'm reading it. And I was like, oh, this is a takeover. So then, you know, I was like trying, it was actually like some people had bought it already up to like it's in the 16s, but it was in the 16s. I was like, wow, it's taking over at 18. I'll buy some. And I was able to pick up some 16 and a half and I flipped it out at like 17:30 or somewhere in there, a little bit higher than actually like literally 5 minutes later. And, you know, and it's chopped around in there. And obviously now it's giving you a 75-cent discount, you know, from the takeout price.
Who's the acquirer?
The Great American Outdoors Group, so the owners of Bass Pro Shops, and they're private.
You will see some sympathy moves here too. I would imagine. I don't know if Raz is still long it, but BGFV, I would think Big Five Sporting Goods. Is this not like that? That would be like a similar play, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm just going from the top of my head. Vista Outdoors, which coincidentally gets an upgrade here today, I would think that. You know, it's kind of gets a little sympathy here too, but you know, is this because one you know, gets acquired? Does this mean they're
going to? Man, I'm having trouble with symbols. What's up, Vista Outdoors?
VSTO.
Man, I'm symbolitis today. Yep, that's getting a little bit of a pop off it.
But that also got a rating.
And so they're big. They're acquiring big stores, huh? That's interesting.
It's everything is interesting in this market, Joel. All right. So that's, you know, that news. And then, you know, we can go back and we got 4 minutes here and maybe we should just do some SPAC talking because we're going to get obviously Eric Krull coming on here. He's going to talk IPOs and he can talk SPACs as well. So we can just continue the conversation, but maybe we should take it there because, you know, we mentioned QS, but some of these SPACs are just, you know, there's one every day that's going. I see CLA gets a deal, it looks like.
Well, and I wanted to mention CLA because we talked about LiDAR companies 10 minutes ago, and they're actually merging with a LiDAR company. So it's CLA has like the SPAC thing going for it, like the SPAC deal going for it, and the fact that it's LiDAR, and LiDAR stocks went up yesterday. So CLA is up for, it's got both those wins at its back.
Didn't have this one. Obviously, there's like 300 of these. I guess you should just buy every single one at $10 and doesn't have a deal yet because they eventually get a deal and they all seem to pop. I don't know if that trade's going to last forever, but every time a deal gets, it's rare you see one of these. Do we see any of these? And we can ask Mitch in the background too. Do we see any of these $10, you know, stocks that don't have a deal yet? Do we see any of them announce a deal and go down? Do we see that? At least right now, is there precedence for that?
Yeah, before 2020, yes. That's
before 2020, but in 2020, in the last like 2 months, have you seen any of these things get a deal and then actually go down? So that's why I just like, you see this thing and it's sitting at $10, around 10 bucks for like a month or 2 months. Then they get a deal and it pops 40%. I mean, that's, you know, my idea too. I bought a bunch of these. I did not have this one, but I bought a bunch of them at 10 bucks. Like I've talked about the SVAC because I'm like, Starboard probably going to get a deal eventually. It's trading at $10, which is, you know, or, you know, just above $10 now, where, you know, that's a potential. That's where, you know, where I feel like there's a floor. And, you know, obviously there's no floor in anything. Anything can happen, but if anybody's going to get a good deal, it's Starboard. But this one, CLA, gets a deal, stock pops 40% overnight. So it's a windfall for anybody who's just saying, hey, stock's at 10 bucks. Eventually they'll probably get a deal and it'll pop. It's back. So it's back working here again.
All right, we just got a GDP number. Not much moving in the market off it. Spencer, do you have that number?
Yeah, it's the third reading for Q3. So really, only the first readings really matter, and because we get three readings for every GDP reading. This is the third one, and they raised it slightly. So Q3 GDP went up slightly from the last estimate, but no, it's 33.4% versus 33.1% estimate. But that, I'm sorry, that was in line with the prior estimate. So there's really no change in GDP. It's the second and third readings are uneventful. It's the first ones that matter.
All right, just hanging up here near the highs of the pre-market session. It's 36.95. We're just been very quiet here in trading, really, since we started the show. Still up 7.25 at 36.93.
Someone in the chat, KMV guy, said that Fisker went down, actually.
Yeah, it did, because it spooked me. I had Fisker, because I still have, and it went under 10. And that was when they were killing everything SPAC.
Into 870, yeah.
Oh, they hammered everything SPAC, though. October, remember, was crash month for all the SPACs. There was a lot of them that got... But that already had a deal.
Yeah.
So that wasn't like pre-deal, though, Spencer.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot... Like, I was looking for ones that are pre-deal. We already knew Fisker. So then they were just hammering everything. In October, they hated SPACs. They hit everything EV SPAC, too. They were hating on the EVs. We know Hylion went from 50 to 20, you know, and it really hasn't come back. You know, there was just a lot of, you know, EV plays that were getting hammered too, but the SPACs, they were really hammering in late October. And then they turned around at the beginning of November and they've never looked back. So that's, you know, I'm just looking pre-deal with that question. And this is a good question for Eric too. Maybe Eric, well, he's following the IPO market, obviously close to the SPAC market, but he knows some stuff about these SPACs too. Maybe he's, you know, can give.
Yeah, I'll bring Eric on here, but I have one more actually. It's not a SPAC, but check out Airbnb.
That's all the way back.
Yeah. And then some.
And Cramer's pumping it now. Cramer said it last night, buy it. I mean, I don't understand Cramer. 7 days ago, he said, oh, it's way overvalued at 160, don't buy it. And now last night on Mad Money, he's saying buy it. I can't understand why did he change his opinion 7 days later. I can't understand, you know, first, I can't wrap my head around the valuation, but I guess it doesn't matter. He knows, he realizes the valuation. But I think it's pressure from his Robinhood cult too, where everybody, you know, is like, talking, you know, and he's pumping Robinhood because he knows Robinhood's paying the bills for him. So they want to hear positive stuff and they want to hear, you know, some hot things. And I mean, why not? I mean, evaluation doesn't matter, so you can. Like, I'm not saying Kramer's right or wrong. I just don't understand. He was using valuation on day one, saying 160 is just stupid. And now all of a sudden, last night, 7 days later, he says, no, buy Airbnb. So obviously he changed his opinion on there somehow. We're bringing in the person who understands these IPOs better than Jim Cramer and better than anyone else, in my opinion. And that's Eric Kroll. And he's got a big smile on his face. And what are your thoughts on Airbnb? I mean, you know, obviously valuation in this market doesn't seem to matter whatsoever, but the story's there. So I don't know. How do you trade Airbnb?
Well, the valuations are getting out of hand in some of these IPOs. And the way you trade them is you have to use fast rules. I heard you talking a little bit earlier about some of these SPACs, and the same thing applies. But like Hylion, that one went up, I think, over 50, is down below 20. If you weren't using fast rules, all you did was saw paper gains that turned into maybe much smaller gains. And so something like Airbnb, it looked like to me that it formed a very short base and broke out. But I would say it's in the IPO advance phase. You have to trade it using fast rules because you don't know where it's going to go in the short term.
Define fast rules. Like, you're using a terminology there, and obviously it's somewhat terminology maybe you use, but what do you mean by fast rules?
Fast rules, like we defined in our book, would be things like this. If you see some gains in the stock that are super fast, like I'd say over 100% in a very short period of time, you aren't thinking this is buy and hold for the long term. You aren't thinking, gee, this is the next Amazon I hold for 20 years. You have to use things like, okay, maybe if it breaks below a 10-day moving average, I sell some. And then if it goes below a 21 exponential moving average, I sell some more. And maybe then I hold maybe a third or a fourth of it for maybe a longer term gain. We have something we call the Everest rule, which we look for climax top symbols. And if you get things like 7-8 days in a row up, if you get more than a 25% gain in less than 3 weeks, which happens a lot with IPOs, or if you get some other things like huge gaps up, multiple gaps up, like from the yesterday's close to today's open, if you get 7 of those out of 10 days in a row, you have to be on red alert that I need to sell some into strength. In fact, I use a rule with this Everest rule where if you click off like 5 or 6 of the climax top signals, you just go back 2 days, look at the low of 2 days ago. That's your first sell point. If you break below the low of 2 days ago, you got to sell some.
All right, Eric, I want to pull up some slides you sent over, and this first one here, so this is a list of the 20 best performing IPOs or SPACs of the last 2 years or year and a half, or how far does this go back?
This goes from January 1st of 2019 till today, or actually till December 18th. So you're looking at almost 2 full years.
Okay. And now, what jumped out to me, so the yellow looks like were SPACs. Is that?
Exactly.
Okay. And what jumped out to me, the first thing I noticed is I see a lot of biotech and a lot of retail. Well, not a lot, but more retail than I guess I would have thought. So can you talk through this list for us?
You know, most of the times when I pull up the sheets and I put the data together, I see a lot of biotechs. And there's a lot of biotechs that end up coming out and then quickly moving up. And then if you look just not that long after that, they start to pull back. So biotechs seem to do it a lot. A little bit of retail and computer and software enterprise were a lot of the best IPOs in the last 2 years. And again, like just like going to the prior conversation, you have to be quick. I did this data over the weekend. So it was through Friday, December 18th, that number one stock, Wunong, that went from 12 to over 160 2 days after it IPO'd. It's below 60 now.
So 50, it's already 50 this morning.
Gain anymore from day one close, it's less than half of that. So one more reason to play fast rules if you're even trying on like day two or something like that, because this is crazy time. Some of the other ones though, like you look at Zoom Video at number 4 and BioNTech at number 3, they have the COVID vaccine. Those are more longer term. Look at Peloton. I think Peloton's up 11% pre-market. These are more stocks that you can play with longer term rules now because they're past their institutional due diligence phase and they're in the more of the institutional advance phase. The other ones, the quickie ones, you just have to play fast rules.
Eric, why do you pay attention to the 50-day dollar volume average?
I always look at 50-day moving average dollar volume because we have found in our research that Those are the ones that get the institutional support that can go on for the long-term gains. If you don't get more than $20 million per day of volume, those tend to not ever go up a lot. So it's a little bit like the it's the lens you look through to try to find, of all these IPOs, which ones are going to work. It's the ones that trade at least $20 million of volume per day on average. And that's why I always cut it off at 20 million.
All right. I want to move on here to this other one here, just IPOs again, since the start of the last year. It's been an unquestionably bullish year for IPOs and SPACs. So bullish, in fact, that a couple companies actually pulled their IPOs, Roblox and Affirm, because they just wanted to reassess this market, I think, in light of the Airbnb and DoorDash IPOs. But well, what does this data say here?
Okay. Well, we've all heard this on the news, and we've been talking about how, what a wonderful year for IPOs. They're great. They're moving unbelievably. But there's one thing to focus on and look at normally, the column on the far right. You have 1.3% of IPOs from 1982 to 2017 achieved at least 100% gain in only 4 weeks. So you would think, well, what about this year? It's got to be 20%. It seems like everybody's going up. No, the real answer is in the last 2 years, it's only 3.4%. Now you could argue like, well, that's 250% of normal. And yes, that's true. But it also means this. Normally, about 98.7% don't go up 100% in 4 weeks. And now it's 96.6%. So you still have the vast majority don't double in 4 weeks. It feels like there's a lot more, but you're hearing just the headlines. You're not hearing about all the ones that don't do it. But in general, as you can see in that second column, yes, in 13 weeks, 11.4% have doubled in only 13 weeks or less. That's a lot more than normal, but it's still, again, 88.6% don't double in 13 weeks. But you go further down, you can still see we're still beating on average what's normal. So they're acting better than normal, but you shouldn't just say, I should buy any IPO because they're going to double, because the numbers don't prove it.
And that leads into this next point that I was trying to hammer home, 2 weeks ago, whenever the Airbnb and DoorDash IPOs, I think those were 2 weeks ago, is patience, patience, patience.
Again, it's the data keeps showing it. It's easy to get caught up in the hype and the excitement and what you just heard about some stocks that had tripled or quadrupled, or you know, something like Snowflake and Airbnb. I got to get in, and you want to buy that day one. And sure enough, once again, you can see that in 3 weeks, almost 60% of the IPOs of the last 2 years have undercut their day one low, and 96% have undercut it within 39 weeks, and which is, both of them are slightly more than what we found in the past, which means don't get too excited. Don't buy the hype. Don't feel like you got to buy right away because you might get a better price. And I think the next slide shows some of the more recent ones that actually did that for us.
Yeah, we had Airbnb, DoorDash, Snowflake. I actually want to skip ahead to this next one. It's as if you read our mind. Rocket Mortgage is one of the most asked questions in our chat. Walk us through RKT here.
Okay. You know, the last time I was on, I showed this a chart and I said there was a mystery stock that looked a lot like Rocket Mortgage. You remember that chart? And I said, which one was it? It turned out to be Google, right? Well, I think we top ticked it that day. I don't remember. I think we appeared this day, right? And then the next day, they proved me very quickly wrong. Like, this ain't Google. It went right down. And so this was a very short IPO advance. I mean, it IPO'd over here, closed over here, day one right there. And it moved on up over $34 a share in just over 3 weeks. It quickly came down and started to form what we call the institutional due diligence phase. And Rocket almost did what most IPOs do. It almost undercut the day one low. It didn't quite. It got really close, but it didn't quite undercut it. And then it's just started going sideways and it's bouncing around. It's been bouncing around between, looks like $18 a share and as high as 24 for a very, you know, pretty good long period of time from mid-September, whatever, to right now, December. So you're looking at almost 4 months of sideways action. This is normal. You want to see this. So people who are interested in Rocket Mortgage, if you didn't buy yet, if you were patient, you are going through what we call the institutional due diligence phase. And what you want to see is a continuation of sideways action to slightly up. And then you want to see it burst above some of these more recent highs, like in mid-October, and then it's going to hopefully rise into what we call the turbulence zone. And the turbulence zone is that area of the old high, and I kind of highlighted with two arrows going across, so it's a little bit above 34, the old high, to maybe in the 30 area where it used to kind of get stuck in that first 3 weeks. The stock, I'm guessing, would go to that level, bounce around the turbulence zone, and then you want to see it burst out of that turbulence zone in heavy volume, and that's the buy. That's when you get the institutional advance phase. So you want to be patient and wait until it gets back above the turbulence zone. You might be able to play a short-term play above the old high of October if it goes above that, but be ready for some give back in the turbulence zone where it might rock around a little bit.
Okay, you hear that, everyone? And I know Jason's in our chat. Eric Kroll, who studies IPOs, says this is normal. Everybody relax. Relax with this RKT stuff. Okay?
But again, and I just want to say, stocks don't have to do anything. So stay diversified. You know, not every stock, you know, has to go up here. And, you know, I own some Rocket. Again, this has been, like, I look at my portfolio and this is one of the only losers. But I mean, you know, you can't win on everything. 100%, you know, it stocks don't have to do anything. So Eric's saying, you know, you wait until you start seeing the stock go up as opposed to trying to buy down here. And, you know, the stock continues to go down. So in Eric's case, you know, he won't go long if it doesn't start going and start showing some life, right, Eric? It's, you know, you want this thing to start showing life before you start to get into it.
Dennis, you're exactly right. And the other thing is, what could happen is Rocket Mortgage, maybe, who knows, they announce earnings, it undercuts the whole base they're building now and goes lower. We don't know. What you want to see is if you want it to be, if you think it's going to be act like a long-term leader, you want to see it bounce around in this area, continue to go sideways and then up and then burst through the turbulence zone. It doesn't have to. It could be like Potbelly's, which never got out of this area and just kept going down.
So Eric, are you applying these same rules to SPACs?
Yes. The difference is you don't really have what you call the IPO day one close, because a SPAC will go mostly sideways until some deal is announced. And then you look at the close after the deal is announced. And what I'm finding is they act very similar after a deal is announced. And in fact, many of them will go a quick advance, and you have to use fast rules. So the ones I look at, you can't believe how many come back 50% or more after they hit a peak. And then they might come back again, like DraftKings. You know, if you were to pull up DraftKings, you would see, oh, that had a fantastic advance. And then there was a real bad 50% pullback. Now it's coming back to life again. But if you didn't use fast rules, you might have seen you had a great advance and then a big give back. There we go.
Just overall, you know, like we talk about on the, you know, the pre-market, pre-market prep, pre-show, just like this incredible. Do you see anything? Any trouble signs out here at all in IPO, SPAC land, or market land? I mean, is this momentum going to carry us through Christmas and into 2021 and beyond?
Do you have any words of caution?
Go ahead.
My co-authors, Eve Bobach and Kathy Donnelly and Kurt Dale, we've talked about this. We feel like this is like the 1999 internet IPO boom. We are a little nervous that there just seems to be so many that pop out, especially with the SPACs, and that this could be, you know, the beginning of the end of it in terms of it's too much exuberance. When Dennis was saying earlier in the show that it seems like you buy any SPAC near 10 because all of them go up after they get some deal announced, he's in general right. But that's also a bad sign, right?
Yeah.
You think
seems
this is
too
so easy.
Seems like too
it's
easy.
Fish in a barrel. It's always going to work. Well, it's not going to. It's going and it will stop. But yeah, so the over exuberance does concern us.
But at the same time, no one is in a position to call the top, right? So what do you
right? It's one of those things where you can try the strategy until it doesn't work anymore, and then you better pull back.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true.
That's every strategy, and that's just a great point right there. And it's something I say on the show a lot. You can do, you know, strategy. You see this, you know, and you talk about, you know, the life cycle of the trade, but, you know, and I talk about life cycles in certain trading strategies. And you will see, like, even, for example, the Cramer effect right now, where we've been seeing this crazy, you know, Cramer stock goes on mad money and the stock just goes like crazy. You know what's been happening in the last week? The stocks that Cramer's had on, the CEOs, the stock's been going down. Why is that? Because they're crowded. Everybody's like piling in saying, oh, it's going to be on mad money tonight. It's going to go up. And you actually look at the two stocks were on last night. One's Thor Industries, bad example because the market's up. But, you know, it was trading down last night, actually, on the report where they've been going up. And it's not a SPAC. And the other one was AGCO. So you do see these things, you know, sometimes start to get too crowded. When trades, you know, start trading strategies work so well, they start to get crowded because all the money flows into that. Once it's crowded, then the strategy stops working, you know, and starts going. And then people start laying off, and then it can actually start working again. So you have the life cycle and trading strategies as well, too. So it's an interesting market where a lot of things have been working. But you're right. You know, it's not always going to work to buy the stock, you know, SPAC at 10 because they all, you know, seem to go up eventually. You know, you're going to have some that people get burned on a couple of these, and then they'll get spooked out of that strategy. So it's kind of how the markets work.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, look at the people who looked at that one Airbnb. It came out and it looked really good the first day. I can't remember if it more than doubled from their offering price the night before. I think it did.
Yeah.
And then immediately it went down and corrected for like the next 3 days. And anybody who bought on day one, they got Airbnb because all IPOs go up. They immediately lost 20 to 30%.
Yep.
Then it came right back. So they get, they're like, oh, if I just hold on long enough, my money will come back. We're teaching so many bad lessons.
Yes, Dennis. I mean, yeah.
This market just teaches you bad lessons that if you hold on to your loser long enough, eventually it'll come back up.
I knew I should have been a long-term investor. I should have just
This hold on, they eventually all come back. But they don't all come back. We know that. So Cisco is still trying to get back to its 85 high from 1999. So they don't always come back.
And DoorDash hasn't come back yet, like unlike Airbnb.
Where's Dash? I never looked. Oh, yeah, it's still kind of leaking there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Eric, awesome information. As always. We love having
thank you.
You
so
come
much.
So well prepared. So thank you. Thanks, Eric.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always great to be with you guys.
Eric Kroll is the founder of the Kroll Asset Management. He's the co-author of The Life Cycle Trade. You can find that wherever you get your books, i.e. Amazon. Eric, we appreciate your time as always. Have a good holiday season.
Thank you. You guys too. We'll see you.
All right. 8:53. If you liked that interview, hit that like button. Show us
the like button for Eric.
Yeah.
Great. I mean,
very well prepared.
That was good stuff. I saw a few questions in the chat. This interview, this entire show is on YouTube and it'll stay on YouTube. So if you want to watch this, you can rewind it. If you missed that interview, you want to go back to it, it'll be on YouTube. Our full archives are there. So if you missed it, don't worry. It'll be there on YouTube.
Just great timing by me to have the guest on at this time.
Great job.
Good job, Joel.
For full disclosure, I did do a great job getting Eric on.
Great job.
Good job, Joel.
8:53. Let's do some questions from our chat.
Ticker time.
Can we do some fancy things like on the SPAC show? Can you work on that, Spencer?
We're actually gonna be doing that. We're gonna be moving over to that platform. We're gonna have some
fans. Am I gonna have to learn a new platform?
Don't worry. Walk you through it. It's very easy. I promise. Let's do it.
All right, ticker time.
Go.
There's a bunch here that are interesting. Baba and JD. So this came up on the pre-market show. There was a filing, and I saw it elsewhere from JD that the chief compliance officer left. That's what I saw. Dennis, you said that the person's staying with the company.
I don't know. I just read the headline quickly, and then it's another headline said, oh, but they're still staying with the company. Typically, when you see compliance officers bailing, you know, giving resignations, you're like, okay, what's going on with the company? And, you know, that's a red flag. But it was obviously in this case, they don't seem to care at all because the stock is trading higher. So maybe we're in this FOMO market that nobody cares. But then somebody else had said that they were actually just going to a different role with the company. So I'm not sure what the case is. Again, I just read the headlines, didn't read the story. So I guess that's what everybody does. But you know, stocks trading up. Typically, I see a compliance officer leave a company, especially when it's a Chinese company. Not saying, but we know we've had some issues there, Luckin Coffee. Not saying JD is that at all. Just saying, when compliance officers leave, usually the market gets spooked. Not seeing that this morning in JD whatsoever. Stock is trading higher and completely ignoring it. So maybe they are still staying with the company. Maybe they just changed roles.
Pull back your JD off that all-time high over $92. I mean, but you're coming into an area of major support, just 78 and above. You can see the lows. In fact, people are not even letting it get there as we speak, working on a red candle for the month. But until you breach that support in the lower 78 handle, you still got to respect the uptrend in JD.com.
Okay, so it is that case. So she is, so the compliance officer gave her resignation from JD.com, but she's expected to join Jingdong Digits Technology Holdings, which is an equity investee of the company. So she's still staying with another company that's obviously got a connection with JD. So it sounds like she's just changing roles. She's becoming the CEO of that company. So she's getting a better job. She's getting a promotion. So
how about the Bobster just hanging in here at 250, Dennis? I mean, this thing.
It hasn't got any life. I mean, they have not recovered from the Ant Financial IPO getting squashed. They've never recovered from that. I'm still long Alibaba. I still like the company long term. I don't know if the Ant Financial IPO is ever going to come back, but there was a lot of expectations priced in for that. The stock was obviously 300, over 300 that day when they squashed it, and it has really never recovered from that. So investors were very disappointed that that didn't happen, and I don't know. It's going to take a catalyst to really get it out of here.
Yeah, look at this. You got a pesky area. There's 265. Two of the last three highs were 64.85, 64.90, and then another high going back even a few more days at 65.32. So if you want to buy this thing on strength, it's $6 away from that. At least let it get back up. You're on monthly support. I mean, you can even go down to this candle, down to 246.10, but just kind of not going with the rest of this exuberant market, so we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, let's talk workhorse here. We haven't talked workhorse in a couple of weeks.
I haven't looked at it in a long time.
Yeah, maybe even a month on this show. It's just sort of been hanging out.
It's still the delay in the decisions what hammered it, and I don't know if that delay, if that decision from USPS is coming anytime soon. So, I mean, that's what it's kind of just been hanging out waiting. Are they getting the contract or not? And we don't have an answer to that, and it's kind of just been quiet since. Could workhorse get a little Santa Claus love? But potentially. You've got some support. I mean, if you were so inclined to come in, 1893, the low of the recent move, I'd probably lean that area. Could this hold? It seems to want to hold 20. So you've got, you know, some good support here at 20, at least right now. So I can't argue with you if you're trying it from the long side. Just I would stop myself out below that 1893 low.
Boy, they need some new trucks, man. Do you see them going out? Well, Dennis, you don't see them. How do you get the mail over there in Canada? What do you
USPS?
Bobsled.
With the dogs, you know?
No, snow dogs. I mean, and also now have you noticed, I mean, they come in the neighborhood a lot. I don't know if they're doing Amazon deliveries and stuff, but it's just not of course, I observe this because I'm home all day walking the dog. But yeah, they'll come in. They need some new trucks soon, man. They're starting to look pretty ragged there. But yeah, it's quiet and it's trying to get out of there, get rid of that seller in 22. Kind of sleepy here. A real good monthly support's way down there, but that's going to wait on the contract. S&P starting to leak a little bit here, Dennis. I mean, I don't know why we got down to 63.75. So we did have a nice 30-point rally off that low, but just
overnight, you mean, on the S&P?
Yeah, overnight. Yeah.
I didn't even know we got that low.
Yeah.
Buy the dip, wins again. One day it won't win, but man, it's been hot.
All right. Spencer, what other symbols are we going to cover?
I don't remember if I asked you yesterday on the closed show about Boeing. It came up in the chat yesterday morning and we didn't get to it. So we'll cover it now.
We did. Okay. Oh, it's getting I mean, that's a crappy looking trend line there, but
I would say that's a good trend line to trade off of though.
Yeah.
If you get back above there, then, you know, you could have that undercut. Like, you know what Gil Morales talks about, the undercut and rally. You're getting that set up to a certain extent here in Boeing today. It was a pretty vicious undercut down to 211. You need to get back up over the previous candle, which was 223.46. You need to get back up a close above that. And then you have the undercut and rally scenario. But this is headline driven. I mean, it depends on, you know, where is, you know, the how is, if they come out and they say the vaccine is effective against the new strain of COVID, the reopening trade will rip higher. If they come out and officially say, like if Pfizer comes out and says, yes, our vaccine is effective against the new strain. If they come out, Moderna or Pfizer, and says, we believe that our vaccine is not effective, then you're going to see the reopening trade get hammered. So we're kind of dependent until we get that information, all these reopening stocks, we're kind of dependent on, is it effective against the new strain or not? You know, Scott Gottlieb saying, I think it might be, but we want the answer to that question. So you got to be very cautious, you know, with some of the reopening stocks for that reason. I mean, that's what I was saying yesterday. If I was buying dips, I'd be buying in tech stocks because they work in both environments. You're buying Boeing, you are dependent on the reopening. And we don't know, we don't have the answer to that question on if that new strain is the vaccine is going to be effective against it. So I'm laying off my reopening plays until I get the answer to that question.
All right, I want to bring Mitch Hotch on. He has a new name. He has wanted to bring up a couple days on this show, and we haven't really gotten the chance to discuss it. It's PUBM. Mitch, talk to us.
All right. So one of the things that we've been seeing, and it was just mentioned about the undercut and rally kind of in the IPOs, and this is kind of the same similar chart that we're seeing in PUBM. I don't know if you can pull that chart up for us, Joel.
Sure.
But one of the things that I would definitely want to see on this one is when the volume is really going to take off. You've been seeing a significant amount of volume day one. That was 10 million shares. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something above that 5 million shares traded and showing me that the big boys maybe have taken a position and pushing it up. Another one that I'll mention here, a story.
What's PubM? Just tell it before you go on. What is this? What does it do?
It's a programmatic. How do you say it, Spencer? Spencer knows it.
Programmatic. It's automated advertising.
What does it do?
So pretty much one of the major things of streaming now is how are we going to target ads? Because it's no longer going to be like it used to be where everyone's kind of watching the same commercials in like a certain region. What's going to happen is that ads are going to be started targeting personalized to what you watch. So if I watch a whole bunch of sports, they're going to go ahead and give me sports advertisement. These are the kind of plays that I'm looking for in the technology and kind of digital transformation in streaming.
So Dennis, every time you see an ad that is based on a Google search you did from an hour ago that feels personalized to you, that's programmatic advertising. It's automated advertising. Okay.
This has the potential to get a hot story there too. I kind of like the story just from hearing it just from the last couple of minutes here. Obviously this is one of those newer IPOs. It's only got 9 days of trading data. It gets above 28. It starts to get interesting here. Can it, you know, get up,
good level,
start getting going?
Nice level, Dennis.
Like if you want to buy it on the strength instead of trying to buy it on the weakness, you know, maybe you wait, but then, you know, obviously 22.42 is the low. You never want to see stocks making new lows either. So not a lot of, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere here, but we know these IPOs eventually seem to get hot. But you know, then when we're talking to Eric, not all of them. So, you know, he showed us some stats that a lot of them don't get hot. So you got to be somewhat careful, but it's the kind of story that could get hot. I think about 28, it gets much more interesting.
Yeah, that 28 is a great number. Your 2-day high, 27.81. Your 3-day high, 28 even. And then go back to December 11th, you had a high at 28.14. Some confluence here as you had a high, it looks like 33.23. Don't quote me exactly. A low down to 22.39. So halfway back. 20, that comes in right there above the 28. And I actually, I erased the line that I had on the similar line on Airbnb. And boy, what's that? That didn't even blink at the 50%. But I like that 28. Good call there, Dennis.
Yeah, I got one more to take a look at just really quickly. Best Buy, I think, might have a little December push here towards the end. It's hanging out at this 100 price range. I kind of like that on the weekly, that pullback. You could get that undercut and rally. I would look for it to really push through that 105 area. But I'm going to be keeping this one on watch for sure.
Seasonality in its favor. We often do see stocks like Best Buy get some love right before Christmas. Even the Santa Claus has expectations that electronics are a big seller to stocking, you know, to for Christmas gifts there. So I would think Best Buy would be a potential stock that could get some love from seasonality. I like it above 105. That's you gave a good number, Mitch. That's where you had the support back in September. That's where you're going to run into resistance the first time. Gets above 105, then there is some room for, you know, a snapback here, but it's holding 100 very well.
And you know what? It just hasn't had a meaningful retracement off that, you know, that it, they hit it on earnings and then it came back one day, but it really hasn't really tried to take back any of the move. And you always know that there's, you know, there's counter moves and everything. So, well, 125, that's easy. That take you back to 112 area. I don't have to use my fancy retracement tool, but first things one first, more. 105. One more.
Yeah, Jason Green is on a similar wavelength as me. He mentioned QQQJ. I've been watching this one. It's basically like the minor leagues for the Q. So if the QQQs track the NASDAQ 100, the QQQJ tracks like the next 100 stocks for inclusion in the NASDAQ 100. I haven't bought this, but I've been thinking about it.
Phew.
I put it on my watch. Like I'm actually, because I didn't even realize it existed until about a week and a half ago. And I was like, oh, this is actually cool. So it's another just ETF to trade and do arbitrage with. But it's good to know what it is. And obviously, you know, next generation, I guess, calling it the next 100 companies that could get there. Yeah. It's moving along with tech stocks, though, and the smaller. So it's a smaller cap tech play, really, right?
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, look at this. I can do a double thing on this one. We got Channel Hanover here. We have
right stuck in the channel. It's a beautiful channel.
Oh, come on, man.
Do I have to take over and draw it for you?
No. Back
there you go. He's got it. Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Nice job.
Look at that. Nice channel.
Channelingstocks.com.
Right. Remember that? Okay.
Hey, that website's still around.
Who's our guest tomorrow?
Lots of advertising.
Wait,
Who's our guest?
I said
tomorrow?
We give them lots of advertising because we say it all the time, channelingstocks.com. Free advertising.
Tomorrow we got Craig Johnson from Piper Sandler. And we've also got a new guest, Jeff Lambert. He's got a company called Ticker, which I think has got a very interesting concept. He'll be on at 9. So we've got a full slate of guests tomorrow. Want to remind you all that all the information from our show and all of our shows actually at Benzinga are for informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to our guest today, Eric Kroll. Thanks to all of you in our chats. You can help us out for 2 seconds just by hitting that like button. That really does help us.
400. Nice.
And we know you want to because the show is free. And that's
also, you know, everyone complains about the brightness today. And then I went to Home Depot. I talked to this lady for 20 minutes. Okay. The poor girl. And I couldn't. So I had to do some, and no one says anything. People, they just complain when it's too bright.
Lighting looks amazing.
So you're lit right up here. Show us how are you lit up there? I see the little light in the background. Can you show the secret? What does the secret Home Depot light look like?
No. I ended up getting nothing to Home Depot. I had to. You guys, I don't know.
How are you? I see the light in the background. What are you using for that light?
I may never live this down.
Yeah, I think you got to show us what this light is. Okay. Joel's going to show us. He's got the light lighting us up. What's lighting us up here now?
Okay.
Oh, here we go. It's like, oh, this is exciting. It's like a treasure back here.
Don't tell Dana.
Wait for it.
Dennis, stop talking. What is that? what is that? Is that Mickey? What is
Disney. It's a Disney Plus, baby.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus light.
Lisa saves everything. And she saved this, and I'm hunting. I tried a couple different lamps, and they were too bright.
That's a good
one. So there it is. So I'm going to have to, that's
Mickey and Minnie lighting you up.
Yeah. I mean,
Disney
it worked.
200.
And Dana and Emily are 25 and 27. So you can imagine they haven't used it in about 5 or 6 years.
Not going to miss it. All right. That's a wrap. You can catch a podcast of this show on every major podcast.
We spare no expense for this show.
I mentioned as well. Everyone have a great rest of your day. We've got SPAC's attack at 11. Joel and I will be back at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, have a good rest of your trading day and good luck.